Thanks for downloading and listening to Disciples View podcast. We have a lot in common. All of us want to retire one day, and the stock market might be near all-time highs, but you know what history shows us? Stock markets don't always see risk coming. So whether it's geopolitical tensions or energy disruptions, inflation or rising government debt, the real threats to our retirement plans often come from the one advisors don't see. So wouldn't it be smart to get a second opinion? You can with Bulwark Capital's free Know Your Risk Portfolio Review. Zach Abraham, the chief investment officer there, is a dear friend of mine. I speak with him regularly. He handles my money, my wife and I's, and he manages based upon risk management. They're always looking for ways to reduce our risk, always looking for ways to increase our upside, and always doing this in a way that, again, all about risk. If you're 5 or 10 or 15 years from retirement, you can't afford a risky portfolio. So sign up for Zach's free, no obligation portfolio review. Just go to knowyourriskpodcast.com. K-N-O-W, knowyourriskpodcast.com, or there's a link here in the show notes, knowyourriskpodcast.com. Investment advisory services offered through Trek Financial LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed. Past performance isn't guaranteed future results. Trek 26-112. God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley, and he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. God said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Happy Independence Day, and I hope you have fun celebrating July 4th. Not the same thing to me. I think we've been talking about this week. Speaking of independence, we're going to get into what happened on Capitol Hill. I know a little something about the woman, Pramila Paypal, I call her, Pramila Jayapal. Who effectively yawned in the face of families who lost their daughters to the murderers of illegal immigrants. That's a calculated strategy. It is a calculated demoralization strategy. It's also genuine. So we'll get into that, but I want to start with this. one of the dads you just heard in the news was very frustrated. He wants a bipartisan solution to the open border, the politically calculated open border that the people who ran Joe Biden used to overturn the country's electoral college system. That's what it is. It's to build districts where people like Pramila Paypal and Ilhan Omar can get elected, Mondami in New York. That's what it's about. That's the design. The design is an overthrow. They were talking about that, and one of the dads said that he wanted a bipartisan solution. I assume to keep murderers out of the country in the midst of this open border system. That's not going to happen. Republicans like John Thune are very, very wedded to keeping things close to the way they are. The Supreme Court, Kavanaugh and Comey Barrett, deciding to pretend that it's a great mystery as to what the framers meant of the amendments around birthright citizenship, what they meant. What they meant was what they wrote in the debate. They wanted to make sure that former slaves never had their citizenship taken away. They wanted to make sure that this wasn't construed to mean that someone who happened to be traveling to the United States from France, who had a baby, became a citizen. They contemplated that. They used language that was very clear, talking about people who are residents, citizens versus domiciled. Where is your home? If someone was in the United States traveling from France and they happened to have a baby while they're here, the founders' view of this was, yeah, but they have a house. They live in a house in France. They're under the jurisdiction of the French government. That's where they're domiciled. They're traveling here. That was their view. So you have these Republican nominees and confirmees, Coney Barrett and Kavanaugh, ignoring that fact. Now, Kavanaugh wrote in his decision that the president's order on this is not of itself unconstitutional. Some reworking could make it constitutional. It doesn't need reworking. It needs a simple reading of what was the debate at the time. So there's not going to be a bipartisan solution to this. You have President Trump and President Trump only pushing for deportation with some people helping him within the Department of Homeland Security. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but if a Democrat is elected president, they will turn this all around. They will reopen the border. They will contact the people who were deported. They will give them free plane rides back. They'll turn the CPB app right back around and say, here's money to return. This is a calculated strategy. So that bipartisanship won't happen. Here's some bipartisanship that is happening. In the very near future, you're going to open up your iPhone or your Google phone and want to check your text messages or get in touch with work, and you're going to be greeted with the screen. It's going to say, please scan your driver's license and or passport. And if you hit decline, you're locked out of your phone. So maybe you'll go, okay, well, then I'll use my laptop. Same thing. This time it will be Apple. And if you use a Google or Microsoft product, same thing. That phone, that computer you think you own, you don't. They make that clear in the software. In a bipartisan effort, the House just voted for COSA, a privacy and free speech disaster as I see it. And the Senate is going to take this up. And what this does is get us closer to an identity-gated internet. And there were 47 members of the House who decided to not vote in this instance. Now, why would they do that? Because they want to be able to say, oh, I didn't vote against protecting children. And they also want to be able to say, oh, I didn't vote to give big tech your ID and your passport. This is probably well-intended for some people. Others know that they're servicing big tech who want to know who you are. And they get to say this. The government gets to say, oh, wait. We didn't make big tech take your ID and passport. All we said is they have to know who you are. From the founding of the country, there are examples of people who chose to be anonymous in their political writings. We have an established pattern of accepted anonymity when people choose to remain anonymous. It's an issue of free speech. You should not have to announce your name to anybody except law enforcement in a legal stop. That's been established. They have probable cause. They can ask for your name. In some states, they can just ask for your name. But in discourse, social media are using technology. I should not be forced to state my name to the state. Do you think this will protect children? How? Is it that the crime cartels won't work around this? Now, this is just a side note. It's less political. It's just a fun fact about Google phones. Google's introducing a new feature called Audio Memory, and it's going to be for their Pixel phones. If you have a Pixel phone, here's what you can look forward to. It's going to run all day in the background, recording and keeping permanent copies of important conversations that you engage in. And Google said, hey, listen, we're not putting these recordings on our servers. It stays on your phone. That means nothing, because their servers can ping your phone, send a signal to your phone, find out what's in the recordings through metadata, and then put that on its servers. They don't need the recordings. They haven't answered how long it's going to stay stored on the phone. Is it opt-in or by default? I'm guessing it's by default. This hasn't happened yet, but it's going to be found in Pixel 10 codes, and that's coming soon. So if you have a Google phone, be aware it's also a Google spy app. It always has been, but they're just getting more bold about it. There's no bipartisan effort to stop that. There's a bipartisan effort to force you to give your driver's license and or passport to big tech, but not to stop that. But there's a bipartisan effort on those things, but not on protecting young women and others from criminal, violent, illegal immigrants. Jenna Gorman called out the Democrats for calling to abolish ICE.
One of the things that happened, I'm sorry I've done this, but one of the things that happened is we're in Chicago getting ready to claim my daughter's body, and the mayor there is naming a truck Abolish ICE, standing and laughing and joking while my daughter was just murdered there. Like, what?
This is a calculated strategy. Part of it is demoralization. What they're trying to do is take people who are fighting for some common sense in immigration reform, such as, hey, let's have a border. And there's been some good legal victories on this front. Supreme Court recognized the fact that Mexico is not the United States. It took the Supreme Court to recognize that. Because globalists had worked to say, hey, if a would-be illegal immigrant or refugee seeker gets to Mexico, Mexico is the United States. Now, that's almost like saying a man is a woman and no, oh, that's right. I'm sorry. We do that. So this woman, this mother who lost her daughter to the murder of an illegal immigrant, Jessica Gorman, continued.
I need you to think about what these policies are. And I need you to imagine this is your daughter, because I'm very sure you won't be cutting off anyone when they're speaking. I'd be very sure you won't call this a political stunt. The grief is real. Every day I wake up with unimaginable pain. Do you know what? I wake up in the middle of the night and I think, did my daughter cry for me? She made it 40 feet. She made it 40 feet running for her life. Did she cry out for me? She died on that pavement all by herself, lonely.
Sometimes when you talk about news for a living, you risk it just becoming news. So, cruelty. Calculated. Demoralization, they won't stop. So we won't stop. How do we deal with this grief? Well, of course, we recognize that God allows things to happen for His glory, to reveal things to us. He can use evil for goods. That's not going to comfort these parents. It might comfort them if their daughter knew the Lord Jesus, that she is now with Jesus pain-free, and that they will be reunited pain-free. Maybe that can be a comfort. Maybe it can comfort us Christians to say that we knew, because God told us, that there would be times like these where evil would be called good and good would be called evil. The hearts of many would grow cold. We've seen all the prophecies. You're living in prophetic times. We know that God makes a habit, or rather maybe a tactic, of going to nations who've turned their face from Him and saying, okay, I will turn you over to your depraved ways, to your own devices. We see this in the declining sexual mores. We see this in the pushing of sexuality into young kids' minds. We see this with gender madness. We see this with the refusal to police our cities. We see this with the refusal to secure our borders. And then the hearts of many growing cold. Now, that's not particularly something that people can rejoice in unless you remember you are seeing prophecy fulfilled. We are speeding towards the new heaven and the new earth. This is not our home. Our home is with the Lord Jesus in the new heaven and the new earth. If we have repented of our sins and asked the Lord Jesus to forgive us and to accept us, and we announce Him as our Savior, we confess Him as our Savior with our mouths and in our heart. But we do live here. A calculated response from a very, very cold woman named Pramila Jayapal. Pramila Jayapal's job is the following. She is to be female and brown, and on TV and on social media. She's never performed any significant congressional function. She's not the author of any significant pieces of legislation. She's not a thinker in terms of legislative priorities. Her job is to be female and brown and on TV and social media and to do things like this. Representative Pramila Jayapal told the parents of those murdered by illegal immigrants that she has better things to do.
Unfortunately, this hearing is it's the fourth time in this committee that we've had a hearing on sanctuary cities, the fourth time. And there's many other things that we could be doing other than this.
Sure, you could be having another debate about the Department of Transportation funding rainbow-colored intersections, which you've had multiple times in Congress. Then there's this. Not one Democrat showed up for discussions on unaccompanied alien children and child sex trafficking.
Dr. Saldusky, you are a trained criminologist, is that correct?
Correct.
How long have you been studying criminals, victims, and our criminal justice system?
Over 26 years.
You said in your opening statement that you were able to interview a member of the Sinaloa cartel. I believe you said his name was Mr. Flores. Is that correct?
Correct.
Where did you interview Mr. Flores, Doctor?
Mr. Flores, I discovered him whenever I was researching his testimony. He's testified before Congress. He's also was a key witness in the leadership of the Sinaloa cartel. That's where the interviews, that's why I initiated the interviews with him, which was over the phone.
Was he in prison?
No.
No, okay. What was his affiliation with the cartels?
He was in charge of distribution.
Of children. Not one Democrat stayed behind to hear that. We'll come back under Disciples View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Happy Independence Day to you, and I hope you have a fantastic 4th of July celebration as well. And I'm asking us to separate these two things this year. I'm asking us to make a mental separation. When the rockets red glare and the rockets red glare, yep, I love fireworks. I love them less where I live and how I live because I get up so early. I just can't avoid it these days. Sleeping until 5:30, sleeping the day away. I wonder if God's playing giving me back a little bit of my own medicine. I used to be so frustrated with my grandpa. I mean, when I was a kid, I'd get angry. Grandpa's so stupid. He's retired. He could do whatever he wants. Why does he go to bed at 7 p.m.? And because he's old and tired and his clock has changed. So yeah, it's harder for me, but I still love them. But I'm wanting to make this separation. Because, yeah, fireworks cost us some money. It's a reminder of the battles that brave people fought to establish our independence from England. But it's also become something of a kind of generic celebration. The way the secular world has tried to steal the birthday of Jesus Christ and to make it into a secular Santa Day. That's why a lot of us, I think, have started to say happy birthday, Jesus, and to focus on that. So Independence Day. Independence costs. To remain independent of a thing costs. Way back in the day, I was offered the opportunity to be an iHeartRadio podcaster. This is after I'd spent the time filling in for Rush Limbaugh and wrapped up the local radio show and went initially to podcast only. And very kind people at iHeart, great big company, offered me this deal. To be a podcaster. And one of the deal points was that they would take ownership over the technology. So my actual podcasting addresses called an RSS feed. In other words, they would take ownership of the audience. Therefore, they could take it away from me. And I had spent a lot of money to establish that audience. The other was more bothersome, and that was that they would have editorial input. Now, that's an interesting phrase, input. There's no legal definition of input. And so I chose to remain independent. And yeah, that's cost me some money, no doubt. But I know had I done that, I wouldn't be here with you. And God came along and said, you were dependent on me. You get to work at American Family Radio on these 180-some stations with great colleagues because of me. There is no other explanation for how it came to be that I got to be here with you. It is so clearly a God thing. I was dependent upon him for a national radio footprint and for the podcast that we do here at AFR.net. I do hope that you'll check that out. Sometimes you miss shows. Sometimes you can go and say, ooh, he covered that topic. I didn't know that. That's an AFR stream. So it can cost to be independent, but it's also something that I'd like us to keep in mind, that on Independence Day, we Christians declare our independence from the world. Sure, we live here, but we're not of here. We are dependent upon God. The world may be dependent upon the health of their stock portfolios. And look, once a week, I talk finance with my friends, and the guy who handles our money, Zach Abraham, and always focused on stewardship. So we are dependent upon God for everything we have so that we can be independent of the world. The world comes along with its definition for marriage. Here's the world's definition of marriage as it exists right now. Whatever. You want to be three people married? That's fine. Five? That's cool too. You want to get married to yourself? There's ceremonies like that all the time now. I haven't found a maid. I'm going to get married for myself, to myself. And here's our definition of marriage. One man, one woman, in marital union, forever, save some very, very clear violations of the marital covenant. And then it doesn't say you shall divorce in the case of adultery. You can. It does not say shall. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. So we are independent of the world because we're dependent upon God. Our nation established independence from a tyrant who had his church, his way, he had his worship, his way, and he wanted to continue to tax us, though we had no representation in Congress or in Parliament. Funny thing that's happened over time. In an act of independence, the Supreme Court just recognized the fact that the President of the United States, who is the unquestioned head of the executive branch, can fire people who work within the executive branch at agencies like the National Institute of Health. I've heard the media say, well, this just destroys the independent nature of those agencies. Nope, they're not independent. We declared independence from unelected bureaucrats or technocrats or members of families, familiocrats, royal families. We declared independence. We are governed at our consent. Our consent is to a representative form of government, not a bureaucratic form of government. That's not in the contract. Romans 13, we are to follow the laws of the land, I'm paraphrasing, unless they collide with the laws of God. Romans 13 applies to them as well. We did not pledge allegiance to an unelected bureaucrat or bureaucrats. We pledged allegiance to the United States of America, one nation under God. Under God. Why? Because we are dependent upon God. We declared independence from a tyrannical king. We declared our dependence upon God for the very rights that our Constitution protects. And our Bill of Rights gives examples of. So yes, let's celebrate 4th of July with fireworks and hot diggity dogs and sausages and whatever else you do and tater salad. And yeah, I said tater salad. I live in Idaho. I get to say tater salad. That's legal here. I checked. Incidentally, are you a mustard in the tater salad thing? That's very, very debatable. Very debatable. That's a big sore subject. Let's separate the two. Let's remember that independence comes with a cost. And that is to be truly independent. This is craziness. To be truly independent, you have to recognize your dependence upon God, which makes you completely independent, needing nothing, for His grace alone is sufficient. I wish that my faith rose to that level. I'm working on that. Where His grace alone is sufficient. I'm working on that. How are you doing with that? We declared independence from a tyrannical king, and Tierney is making reappearances here in the form of unelected bureaucrats. And yes, we've had some Supreme Court common sense in that regard. We left the England. It wasn't yet the United Kingdom, but we left England. His Majesty Charles, King Charles III, has changed his job description. Did you know this? Part of his job description. He no longer wishes to be called the defender of the faith. King Charles wants to be the defender of all faiths. And Protestant Christianity, you could say maybe it just came from England, was formed in England. I mean, it wasn't, because, of course, Martin Luther King and Germany, etc. But we had given a doctrine of choice. Recognize the doctrine of choice. We adopted that in the United States of America in the First Amendment. We have the right to practice our faith in God as we see fit in public and based upon the Christian concept of God. So the King of England now wants to be the defender of all faiths. Now, you can defend people's right to practice their faith. You can do that. You can be a Christian and say, I defend the right of people to practice their faith. You can do that. We should do that. That's your right. Why could I say we should do that? Because Jesus allowed it. Jesus never tried to shut down another faith. He called them out. He called out the Pharisees as whitewashed tombs. He called them out as wrong on everything, but he never said shut them down. And he could have just shut them down. But if you are a Christian, you can't defend all faiths. Because if you're a Christian, there's only one actual faith. Everything else is delusion. Everything else is lie. Everything else is error. So you cannot defend the Islamic faith, which is what Charles means here. Now, in the United States of America, we celebrate Independence Day. Independence from that. Those of us who are Christian recognize our dependence upon God. To celebrate the 4th of July, CNN highlighted this so-called slur against Indians in the Declaration of Independence.
There is a slur in America's founding documents. And we all know about this passage from the Declaration of Independence adopted 250 years ago next week, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But farther down in the Declaration is a list of grievances against the king, a series of reasons the colonies wanted to split from the United Kingdom. And this is the final one. He has excited domestic insurrections among us and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages, whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. Merciless Indian savages. Words in the Declaration of Independence, largely forgotten.
You can dislike that. You can refer to savage warfare. And the Native Americans, if you prefer that phrase, or the First Peoples, if you like that, or the Tribal Peoples, if you prefer, the indigenous people to North America, if you like that phrase, they prided themselves on using warfare to intimidate. Many of them did. They were brilliant warriors, many of them, and they had savage tactics. Here's an example from some of the South American, Northern Mexican tribes. This is it's not super blunt, but it could be scary for young people. I'll say it very quickly. One of their punishments for people they caught was to put them in a wooden cage and hang them from a cliff, but not before they cut their eyelids off so they couldn't sleep. Savage. Now, I don't consider Native Americans or First Peoples or, if you prefer, the indigenous tribes people to be savage people. I consider that to be a savage act. But we're taking the language of the time and trying to apply it to today. They don't do this with today, CNN. My father was deeply fascinated with Native tradition. I grew up reading Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee, the first serious book I read. I grew up going to Native American reservations. And by the way, some of the people who live there have in their family history stories of how they humiliated some of the troops of the cavalry. They tell those stories to today. But they don't do those things. Praise God, times have changed. But war is savage. And Jesus weeps at it. It should be a last resort. But racism is alive and well. It's just colored now in the angel of light category. So CNN is bothered by a historical document describing, I regard that as a description of the savage tactics of the tribes. That's how I regard it. But they ignore the racism of today. This is San Diego County's schedule for their 4th of July celebration. Obviously, they don't say Independence Day because that would be patriotic. See if you can spot anything missing, okay? You got your sound setup and sound check, okay? Media statements, got it. Guest arrival and networking, got it. Okay, we've got the tribal intimate blessings, welcome to the land, okay? Got that. Welcoming and land acknowledgement, okay. Tribal invocation, got it. National and black anthem, okay, because black people aren't part of America, therefore they have their own nation. Local tribal community stories, cool. Latino community stories. Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander community stories. LGBTQ, IA, and so-called T community stories. Black and African community stories, closing remarks, fireworks. Wow, something's missing. White people. The disappearance is not an accident. Only the stories that these people can merchandise as victimhood matter. Yes, there has been victimization. Yes, some people have lost some rights. Yes, our nation fought a bloody civil war to restore the rights to where they always should have been. Yes, we did nasty to the Native Americans. Yes, they harmed themselves. But we, as a country, were told that we were not to regard race as a way to judge. And here's San Diego County literally removing from what they call the 4th of July, any stories that are not related to people whom they can merchandise as permanent victims. Let's declare independence from that. Every one of those people is loved by God. They're all created by God, but not all of them know the Lord Jesus. And that's our job. Go and make disciples of all nations, including some of the made-up nations. We'll come back on the Disciples View.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families.
Thanks for downloading and listening to Disciples View podcast. We have a lot in common. All of us want to retire one day, and the stock market might be near all-time highs, but you know what history shows us? Stock markets don't always see risk coming. So whether it's geopolitical tensions or energy disruptions, inflation or rising government debt, the real threats to our retirement plans often come from the one advisors don't see. So wouldn't it be smart to get a second opinion? You can with Bulwark Capital's free Know Your Risk Portfolio Review. Zach Abraham, the chief investment officer there, is a dear friend of mine. I speak with him regularly. He handles my money, my wife and I's, and he manages based upon risk management. They're always looking for ways to reduce our risk, always looking for ways to increase our upside, and always doing this in a way that, again, all about risk. If you're 5 or 10 or 15 years from retirement, you can't afford a risky portfolio. So sign up for Zach's free, no obligation portfolio review. Just go to knowyourriskpodcast.com. KNOW, knowyourriskpodcast.com, or there's a link here in the show notes, knowyourriskpodcast.com. Investment advisory services offered through Trek Financial LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed. Past performances and guaranteed future results. Trek 26-112.
Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Quickly, I'm praying for the people affected by the Aspen Acres fire, Colorado. As I'm reading this, I mean, this is actually an older post. It had been 23,000 acres had been consumed. And the reason that drew my eye is I had noticed something and just looked this up. On July 2nd, 2026, in Colorado, in Jefferson County, deputies arrested a suspect. His name is Royce Ben Jameson. He is apparently a resident of New Mexico, immigration status unknown. I'm asking that for a reason, by the way. He was caught intentionally setting fire to brush off the highway near a mile marker 16 on Colorado Highway 47 about 4:46 p.m. A bunch of witnesses saw this guy standing over a fire on the south side of the highway. When they arrived, they found him. They located him, matched the description of the suspect. They were able to put out the fire, praise God. And do you remember a few years ago, all the fires, and there were a lot of people like me saying, you know, a lot of these are human set, right? Remember when that was a conspiracy theory? One of the guys who set the Palisades fires in Los Angeles has been let off. A jury let him off. I mean, there was very scant evidence other than videos he took of him doing it. You know, things like that. The instruments of starting the fire found in his truck, is writings about wanting to do that because he broke up with his girlfriend and people didn't believe climate change was real. And well, then, of course, there are the cases in the separate country of Washington State where people were caught doing this. Well, and then in Canada, course, there were 30 people caught doing this. A couple things about this is there are people so committed to the idea of climate catastrophe, climate change, global warming, that they're willing to help the panic along a little bit by starting fires. But there's another aspect to this that people should be aware of. Our country is under attack in multiple ways. So it's adirectional, multidirectional warfare, hybrid warfare. Hamas and other terrorist groups have used fire as a weapon for many, many, many years against the civilian populace. And one of their techniques in doing this, or one of their outcomes they seek, is that for people to just become unsettled. Man, we can't even stop fires anymore. Our country is so inept. Every summer, things burn down. They do it to drain local resources. Antifa writes about doing it in small communities to drain their resources, in red states and red cities to drain their resources, to demoralize first responders, to demoralize cops. They look at the calendar and go, well, July and August, it's fire season. We're going to be pulling triple 12s, boys, fighting fires and supporting those who are doing it. It's okay to confess that people do these things, and it doesn't mean that every instance is this. Most aren't. But we don't do ourselves any good when we ignore the obvious before our eyes, like this obvious. Our bodies, to many of the bosses of the pharmaceutical industries, our bodies are simply things to be conquered. And illness is a thing to be caused. And a so-called cure is really just a mitigation of symptoms. Sometimes it's not even symptoms. Do you remember the HPV vaccine? This was to stop the spread of a cancer that girls can get if they're involved in sexual contact. Remember this? They tried to give this to our infant, literally our infant baby, an HPV vaccine. And I told the nurse, you're insane. I mean, I said, you know, forgive me for being rude, but that's insane. She's an infant, and if our infant suffers sexual contact, we've got bigger problems than she might get cancer. So no, we're not going to give her the HPV vaccine. Dr. Brian Hooker, PhD, talked about how the Gardasil HPV so-called vaccine doesn't even prevent HPV.
Well, Gardasil 4 came out in 2007. And we happened to have the Florida Medicaid database through 2011. So we thought, well, let's look at the first 4 years of the Gardasil rollout. And what we find is that when we look at ovarian dysfunction in general, that children that are receiving these vaccines at 9 years of age, 10 years of age, 11 years of age, some of them have five times as many diagnoses of ovarian dysfunction, menstrual issues, premature menses, vaginal disorders, as well as, you know, other types of genital disorders, as well as a greater level of getting infected with HPV. This vaccine that is supposed to prevent HPV in the first place, we see more HPV diagnoses in the individuals that actually got the vaccine.
You got the last part right. More instances of the disease in the people who got the vaccine. I'm not going to let up on the technocratic medical state, and you shouldn't either. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents The Tower of Babbling.
We are expanding access to transportation. Seems like maybe it's a small issue, it's a big issue. You need to get to go and need to be able to get where you need to go to do the work and get home.
Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling. That's almost always the case, three. And we'll begin here. This was Obama's DHS Secretary, Department of Homeland Security Secretary, Janet Napolitano, way back in 2010.
As has been widely reported yesterday, I signed the order beginning or for the process of TPS status for Haitians already in the United States. This is a kind of an intermediate immigration status that allows those who are here to remain and to work. And as they work, of course, many send remittances back home. This in and of itself is a form of support to Haiti and a form of economic assistance to Haiti.
She went on to say in that clip, that was, 2010, they'd have to leave 18 months from then. So that would have been 2012. That's how long this TPS was to last, 18 months. That was 14 years ago they're supposed to leave. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Listen to ABC's coverage of the SCOTUS case regarding the executive branch's relationship with heads of what they like to call independent agencies.
What's the immediate impact of this decision allowing President Trump to fire employees of independent agencies purely for political reasons?
It's a sweeping decision, Diane, in a major overhaul of our government. Congress, since the 1930s, has created dozens of agencies, from the NTSB to the Federal Trade Commission, Federal Election Commission, Securities and Exchange Commission. They touch all aspects of American life.
They're independent. And yet the Constitution makes clear, and Congress made clear when they created these agencies and funded them, that they would be parked under the executive branch, which is headed by the President of the United States. They're not independent, never have been. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. This is a so-called minister at a real church in San Francisco, California.
Happy Pride, San Francisco. Minister Filopia Tubiati here with Metropolitan Community Church of San Francisco. I want to invite you to our big queer praise and pizza party this coming Sunday, June 28th at 6 p.m.
Yes, that is a fake minister, false teacher, who has named himself after the miraculous fallopian tube in women's bodies. Mocking God. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
If we follow the science, imagine, instead of staying locked up in their rooms, they're able to hug their grandchildren.
This isn't about freedom. It's about freedom for your neighbors.
That was The Tower of Babylon on A Disciple's View.
On a personal note, I was remembering a prayer the Father of our country is famous for giving. And then I was remembering a time where my family and I went to go visit the church he used to attend, that in fact Robert E. Lee also attended, both of those gentlemen. And I read this, Almighty God, President Washington said, we make our earnest prayer that thou wilt keep the United States in thy holy protection, that thou wilt incline the hearts of the citizens to cultivate a spirit of subordination and obedience to government and entertain a brotherly affection and love for one another and for their fellow citizens of the United States at large. And finally, that thou wilt most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to do justice, to love mercy, and to demean ourselves with that charity, humility, and pacific temper of mind, which were the characteristics of the divine author of our blessed religion, without a humble imitation of whose example in these things we can never hope to be a happy nation. Grant our supplication, we beseech thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It's somewhat old language to think about demeaning ourselves with that charity. This is to make ourselves smaller, to recognize our insignificance in the face of the Almighty. George Washington became humbled. He wasn't always humble. When he was in his 20s, he lost a very significant battle that he was not yet ready to lead, and that led him into a state of humility. His mother, as at one point, had said, God grows what is firmly planted. What is firmly planted in what? Well, the soil of the Word of God. When I worked in Washington, D.C., my family came out for a couple of weeks prior to us selecting our first apartment to help us find it, and we went on a tour of Alexandria, Virginia. We went to the restaurant and bar frequented by George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, same exact floor on which they danced. They have maintained, as close as they can, some of the foods that they ate, including an early version of the hot dog, which Jefferson had discovered in France, and ice cream, with which he became obsessed, again, having discovered in France. A dish that George Washington enjoyed, which is actually really delicious, meat and potatoes dish, and a beer favored by both men. And this place has done everything they can to keep it very, very similar, if not exact, to how they served it then. Fascinating experience. We ate, we enjoyed this, we went on a walk to the oldest church in Alexandria, a church that George Washington had attended. So had Robert E. Lee. And sitting in that church, I learned that at the time of George Washington, you could purchase a church pew. So by virtue of your giving, you could purchase a family pew. Now, to me, that kind of flies in the face of we're all equal under the Lord Jesus, but it was a way they funded the church. And it's also, I think, a way to display how much you gave the church. Jesus warned us against this. Don't be like the hypocrites announcing your giving. Just do it in secret where your Father in heaven sees you, for truly you've had your reward if you do this just for public adoration. But that was what they did. And I asked her, and I learned that President Washington never liked to be called President Washington. He liked to be called General Washington. So I asked her, this was the lady who was one of the, I wouldn't say elders of the church, I forget this specific title, but she was one of the keepers of the church. And she'd very kindly given us a tour. They were closed. But she really took a liking to our daughter and said, oh my gosh, you guys have come a long way. You're only here for today. I'll give you a tour. And I asked her, did General Washington have a pew? She said, yes, yes. Would you like to sit in it? So we sat, remarkable. And she said to me, what brings you to town? And this was when I had gone to work at the Republican National Committee to try to stop the plans of Barack Hussein Obama. I considered that my patriotic duty. I said, oh, just what everybody's here for, to work in politics. And she said, well, you must be here to help our new president. I said, actually, madam, I'm a member of the loyal opposition. And she said to me, well, then you could just get the blank out of here. That's what she said in church. I said, as you wish. Thank you for giving us the tour. And she said, I'm so, so sorry. I said, no. That's fine. You've spoken. I forgive you. We'll be on our way. We were walking out, and my daughter, who was in kindergarten at the time, said, why was she so angry with you? I said, why do you think? And she said, because it's you're on the other side. Whose side? We were at a church. Whose side? She said, isn't she supposed to be on God's side? And I said, aren't we all? Interesting discussion we had on the train ride back to the hotel. Let's not let the devil work that way in us. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ and make disciples of all nations until God grants us permission to speak again together. May His peace, which transcends all understanding, rest upon you and your families, and I'm off to be with my beloved family. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been The Disciples' View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.